You're listening to the OCD Stories podcast, hosted by me, Stuart Ralph. The OCD Stories is a podcast dedicated to raising awareness and understanding around obsessive compulsive symptoms. I do this through interviewing inspired therapists, psychologists, and people who have experienced OCD. Welcome to the OCD Stories. Welcome to episode 276, and in this one I chat with Rachel Huber. Rachel has kindly agreed to share her story with us, and in it we talk about her story, postpartum OCD or maternal OCD, worrying about the health and safety of her children, her therapy journey, and much more. And thanks as always to NoCD for supporting the show and the work that we do. NoCD are now operating in Australia as well as UK and USA. So good work to NoCD for continuing their expansion, and thank you to them for sponsoring the show. And if you want to find out more, head to go.treatmyocd.com/theocdstories or click the link in the episode description. So thank you for listening to the show. As always, I appreciate it. And thank you to Rachel for sharing her story. And without further ado, here she is. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. And as you know, I'd like to hear your OCD story, and anything else you want to include in that is perfectly fine.
Okay, great. All right. Well, let's see where to begin. I guess I'd start by talking about when I first kind of noticed I had OCD. Obviously, at the time, I didn't. You know, OCD is more, it's kind of new, you know? Like, so when I was younger, it was just kind of diagnosed as like an anxiety disorder. So obviously, at the time, I didn't know what was going on. But looking back, I could say two of like the biggest memories I have of having OCD was, one, I was at a hotel with my family, and I remember it had like a kitchen in it. And I remember saying, like, I can't go to sleep. I can't go to sleep. I was terrified that in the middle of the night, I was going to wake up and stab my brother and my whole family with the knives that were like in the kitchen. Obviously, at the time, I think I was about 10. So that was like a super scary thought, which obviously made no sense to me at all. Right. So I made my brother hide all the knives in the hotel. And, you know, it was kind of just, you know, looked at as like, oh, it's just a thought. It's not, you know, no one really knew what that really was, you know. It's very scary at 10 to have those types of deep thoughts, right? Of killing someone who you obviously, stabbing someone who you obviously really love and is in your family, and nothing I would ever really do. But I'd say that's like my first memory. And then another memory that I had, you know, looking back, is I used to do this crazy thing where I would be in my bed at night. I was probably also maybe like 12 at this point, 11. And my room was like close to my parents' room. And so I would say like, I love you. And they like, good night, like through the wall. And then they would say, good night, I love you too. But I had to be the one to say, I love you last. So I'd have to say it again. But then if they did, then they wouldn't say anything because I had to say it last. But yet, if they didn't say anything, I thought that they were dead. So then I'd need them to say it again, but then I'd have to say it last. So as you can see, this cycle just went on for a very long time until either I was in tears or my parents were in tears or everybody was in tears, and we just passed out and went to bed. And then the next night, the same thing happened again. Yeah. So, you know, looking back, we had no idea what that was. That was never diagnosed as OCD. And I, trust me, my mom took me to my share of therapists, doctors, psychiatrists. But, you know, at that time, it really wasn't very well known, I don't think. And so it was more just like, she has anxiety, separation anxiety. It's just a normal kid thing. But now, knowing what I know about OCD, and I obviously now see that that is just a very typical type of OCD pattern, which was really something that everybody dreaded, bedtime routine at that point in my family. So reasonably so. Yeah, so I guess that's kind of like where I began my OCD journey, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it kind of ebbed and flowed as the years went on, you know, like sometimes it's worse and sometimes it's better. It would depend on like the different stressors in my life. And eventually I did go on meds, which really, really significantly helped me. But I guess as my psychiatrist would always say, like that will take you, if the meds work, it'll take you like 90% of the way, right? You're never going to be cured from OCD. You just need to kind of be in treatment to like work out the rest of that like percentage that, you know, the meds are not going to, you know, fix. Yeah. And that's the therapy work, right? That's the ERP. That's all of that. So I've also had a lot of therapy throughout the years. So I think that things were like okay as I was older. I almost was able to kind of hide my OCD. I don't ever even know if I would say it out loud that often, like, hi, I'm Rachel, I have OCD. It's not really something that I would kind of be that open about. And also, I feel like, truthfully, in my experience, like not most people, I don't think really know like what OCD is, like the depths of it. Like it's kind of what they see like on TV is people obsessively washing their hands or like, you know, checking the stove, which is a type of OCD for sure. But it's more of like the typical, you know, OCD definition. And I also find throughout my life that a lot of people will kind of joke about it, you know, like, oh, I'd have OCD if I had that. Like, but they don't really know what OCD really is. And so I think growing up, it was kind of like my family knew, right? But I wasn't very open about it to people or really to myself, just kind of said, I have really bad anxiety, I guess.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like hard, I think. And then when I made the switch to really being like, this is what I have, this is what I have to be like honest and truthful and open about to people so they can understand. And also it helped me, right, grow and understand what was going on as well, I think. And I think for me, I have like what they call like pure OCD. So it's really all in my head. So the compulsions you really can't see, which is good and bad. It's good in the sense that people, I guess, don't see me, you know, washing my hands for 4 hours or showering for, you know, 3 hours or this, that, or whatever it is. And so that in a sense is good, but it's also been difficult because people, I don't know if people really understand how bad my OCD really is because I'm considered like high functioning because they don't really see the compulsions. So with pure OCD, as you probably know, it's really like I may not spend all those hours washing my hands because I don't have that, but I'll spend all those hours in my head. And that takes up the same amount of time in the day that I lose, you know, from my family, my friends, my kids. And I always like to say like OCD is like a thief, right? It like robs you of your life. That's how I feel. Like it robs me from being present with my kids, with my husband. And it's sometimes hard because I'll try to explain to people like, I have really bad OCD. And they're like, no, you don't. Like, I don't see you doing this or that, or, you know, you have two boys, you're functioning, you do really well, and I don't see it, but it's there. And so I think like, you know, I also have to stress that I don't think that pure OCD is talked about as much as like other types. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but
I think I agree historically, absolutely. And that's where most people get their understanding of what OCD is. But I think it's changed a lot in recent years, at least in the OCD community, there's much more awareness, but I don't think that's spread out to mainstream society yet.
Right. I think like people who are in it and know about it, yeah, they understand it. But for the mainstream and like, just like, you know, everybody else, when I've said like, I have pure OCD, they're like, what's that? You know, like, they're like, it's just not what they know. And so sometimes that's been difficult for me, I think, yeah. But, you know, we all have our own OCD journeys, as I like to say. So we all have our own struggles that we're dealing with, right?
Absolutely.
So I guess like where I'd like to kind of take this as that my OCD was kind, you know, I would say under control. And then I decided to have kids. And my OCD got really, really bad. And I'd say that that is when everything kind of, when like the shit hit the fan. So everything just went bad. And when I was pregnant with my first son, Jacob, I was okay. When he was born, things got really bad. And I kind of wanted to focus this podcast on like maternal OCD and having OCD as a mom, because I think that as a new mom or dad, as a new parent, it's really, really scary. You have, it really is like your heart is beating outside of your body. Like you love this child more than it's really, truly like in the movies, like, you know, a love you've never experienced before. And I think that's why my OCD went from like a 3 to a 9,000 million. So, and I think that as a new parent, it's really scary. Everything's new. If you don't have OCD, just in general, you have no idea what you're doing. You know, you're kind of winging it. And to be honest, my kids are 5 and 7. I still have no idea what I'm doing, but luckily they don't know that. So it's just, let's not tell them that. But, I think it's really hard, you know, to be a new parent. And then when you have that combined with OCD, it like becomes like the perfect storm. I kind of, you know, think of it as like, it's really this monster that just grows because you have these thoughts or these, you know, this OCD for me around health directly related to my kids. So OCD, you know, as in my life, kind of just, as you know, it kind of changes. Like you might have like this theme or that thought or whatever. Since I had kids, it's pretty much 95% of the time, it's all back to their health. It's a, you know, chemical OCD, you know, fear, but it's always back to their health. It's always that they, God forbid, could have cancer or like, you know, just did some terrible disease, brain damage. It's always back to them. So when my son was born, Jacob, you know, it just got really bad. Like there's just always things with kids, right? Like they just like have things on them, or like he had some glands that you could feel. And like, that made me think he had cancer. And no matter how many times the doctor told me that wasn't true, like, you know, OCD doesn't believe anyone, right? Yeah. Like it just like a vicious cycle in your mind. And I guess I'd like to say, like, for me, my OCD, my compulsions are like, although you can't really see them, they're constant Googling, constant reassurance seeking, whether that be from like certain friends that I'll go are my go-to, my parents, my husband, whatever it is. Like I have to have that reassurance seeking, which is also kind of why I Google, right? You go on Google to try and find something to make yourself feel better, when inevitably Google is always going to tell you you're going to die. Right? You Google it and it's, everything is like, oh, you know what? You have 2 days left to live. So why I continue to Google, I don't know. I know it's going to be worse. I know it's going to make it, you know, terrible, but you know, that's the nature of the disease, right? That's the nature of the beast. It's like the compulsion is you have to do it. So I think that like my OCD was getting worse. And then when I was pregnant with my second son, Henry, as bad as I thought it was before, it got even worse. And that's kind of when, after he was born, I realized like, I just have so much more work to do than I really ever thought. When I was pregnant with him, it was like living in a literal hell. Like every single day was like impossible to get through. The amount, I had a crazy fear that like I would bleed during my pregnancy, which would mean that there was not enough oxygen to the baby and there would be brain damage. So I would, it's just was crazy, the stuff that I would do and the amount of hours I would spend doing it. And I think that like at that point was when I was, I thought I hit my all time low. And I think once he was born healthy and beautiful and there was never any issues, right? He came out fine. It was when I hit even below rock bottom. I thought at the time, I was convinced that this is like some type of like Lifetime movie, right? Like I thought that the nurses took my baby, you know, I had like a little bit of a difficult birth. And so like I had a C-section, so you're really out of it, you know, with all the drugs. And afterwards, I thought and was convinced that the nurses took my baby and switched it with another child. And I had now this baby that was not mine. I would ask every, there's rotating nurses, right? So I would go through this with every single nurse, every doctor. I mean, the looks on their faces were just like, they did not, they were just like, we need to commit her. Like she's like psychotic. And I tried to explain like I have OCD, right? But it just, to them, it was just like, what? We didn't switch your baby. How do you know? How do I know that you didn't when I was sleeping or when I went, took the elevator up to like, you know, the next floor? How do I know? So I guess that's always what OCD is, right? You don't know 100%, although yeah. I can be pretty confident that they didn't switch my baby. Looking back now, it's sort of ridiculous to me to even say, but that's how bad it got, right? Can you imagine? Like someone took my child and just swapped them in the middle of the night. It's like truly like a movie, right? So that's when I was like, you know, big thing. Things really just need to change. And I guess like that was, you know, I guess I would like to touch on like a couple more things in terms of my story. I mean, there's so many stories that I have that I'm not going to like get into like every little detail about, but just the big picture here of that, like what I said before, is that I feel like OCD is a thief. I noticed that even though as I was starting to get better, it still robs me of the time with my kids. And in the sense that I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I'm always like physically here. But I'm sure as you know, when you're in an OCD cycle or flare up, like I like to call it, I'm not present. I'm so distracted, you know, when they say like, you know, you're in distress, like I don't really like to say like, you know, when they say you like sit with your distress, you know, don't do anything when you're having like the thoughts. I don't think it's distress. I think it's like true agony. Like it is like pure pain. Like your heart is racing. Like you're doing, you want to do anything and everything to get that feeling, like to just be gone. And that obviously is why we do our compulsions. Yeah. So I might be on my phone Googling for like 3 hours and like my kids are like watching me do that. Watch me do this, mommy, watch me do that. And, you know, in my defense, they really say watch me a lot. So, you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm watching you, but really like I wasn't always present. And that is one thing that I hate. It takes so much away from your life, right?
Yeah.
So, I really have, you know, I don't want to ever say, I don't think anyone's really ever recovered from OCD. I definitely am not. I'm much, much better than I was. And I try really hard. I work really hard. I'm in therapy. I do ERP. I read a lot. I learn a lot about it. I think knowing and understanding it yourself helps me at least like try to fight it. If you will. So, I guess like one thing that I kind of wanted to touch on as like being really important and, when you have OCD in general and not just, having OCD as a mom, right. Is like that support system I think is like so imperative, to have. A couple of people, whether it's your parents or your wife, your husband, your partner, who understands what OCD is, because it is such a lonely feeling, right? I think having OCD is so scary. The thoughts that you can have obviously are, you know, really frightening. So you feel really scared, you feel really alone. And I think there's so much shame around it, right? I mean, it's just, it's, you feel awful. Like, and I think having that support system is like really important. And I'd like to like stress out there to people who are parents and have, cause I do know there are like moms and dads who have OCD around like strictly their kids. And it's can be a really scary thing to like be open about that. And I think when you have it in direct relation to your kids, being honest with your pediatrician was huge for me. I will say my pediatrician is some type of like pediatrician angel. Like, I don't know where she came from, but I am like, it's like I won the lottery with her. She is so well-versed in anxiety and OCD. She's a huge support system. And, you know, I had to be honest with her because I guess in the beginning, I thought really like, well, I guess in the very beginning I wasn't because I didn't want to freak her out. But once I got to know her, I was like, I have to be honest because she probably didn't understand like where this was all coming from. And I think that I really can't stress enough if you have this type of OCD around your kids, like being able to talk to your pediatrician openly, because it's made a world of difference for me, truly. She's like never made me feel ashamed. I think we put enough shame on ourselves, like I said before. She is a, you know, big support. She doesn't enable. She understands and she gets it. And on top of that, obviously, she's an amazing doctor, which is obviously the most important thing. But it is also really an extra added gift here that she's like such a part of my support group, I guess, my support bubble. So I know it's really hard to like say that and be open to doctors, your pediatrician, whoever it is. Like, it's embarrassing and scary, but I think it's really important to do.
Yeah, good point. And what was it? Well, thank you for sharing your story and going into so much detail. I think parents, expecting parents, people who want to become parents, I'm sure, or those that have been through it, that will find comfort in that. What was I going to say? Yeah, so opening up to your pediatrician, what was that like? Because obviously you didn't at first. You built a relationship with her, felt comfortable, it sounds like, and then you decided I needed to be honest. What was that like?
Yeah, I just decided to go for it, decided to rip off the Band-Aid there, man. I mean, it got really bad after my first son was born, Jacob, and I was telling you, like, he has glands, like we all do, but his, you can feel and see some that maybe you can't on others. And I became obsessed. Like, it didn't stop. Like, I would bring him back to the doctor all the time, you know? And I guess eventually I remember being like, I mean, I'd be hysterically crying in her office, and like, she has so much empathy, you know? So she never ever questioned or made me feel bad about it. But I knew that like, in order to kind of like continue on, like she really should, you know, to be fair to her and myself, that she should know the truth. So I was super afraid to tell her. And I think that like, I kind of just like blurted it out. Like, I have OCD. I'm crazy. I have OCD, like, you know, and make a joke out of it. And, you know, she never laughed and she never made me feel bad about it. And she was like, I get it. I understand. And like, think, you know, she was very like, she really understood. And she was like, thank you for like sharing that with me. I think knowing that I can help better navigate this with you. Yeah. I think one thing that was great was that she, even though, okay. So I feel like with OCD, one thing that I find really hard is that like, when you have OCD and people know you do, and for me, it's around all around health and it's around my kids, 95% of that is about that, that, you know, people will just be like, not really necessarily take me seriously. If I have a worry or a concern, it's just, she's having OCD. She's having anxiety. And that is like, it's like a punch to the gut. Right? I don't know if you've ever felt that, but it's like, I do have OCD, but that is not who I am. And sometimes I do have legitimate worries and or concerns that are not OCD related. And even if they are, I don't want that thrown in my face like, you're having OCD, you're having OCD. Well, you know, maybe I am. And you know what? To be honest, I probably am. But 99.9% of the time, it is OCD. Let's be truthful here. But I still don't want that thrown in my face. And I think for her to this day, like she's been my pediatrician for 7 years now. And she will always look at me with like a straight face and take me seriously as if I was a patient that does not have OCD. She listens to me. She hears me. She answers my questions. And then it's done. Like she knows not to enable, like I might ask, you know, a couple of times and then it's like, okay, like I think now we've answered that question. Like we're going to stop here. Yeah. And I think that, that was huge for me, knowing that I had her to like know that she was always listening to me, taking me seriously and not just like, ugh, this is just like another chick with OCD, you know, yeah. Like I'm not really, I'm half listening. No, she was like the opposite. So I've had like such an amazing experience with her and opening up about that. And I don't think anyone else is going to top her, but I'm confident that there are so many pediatricians who are well versed in this and who would be receptive. So even though it's scary, it was way more scary not telling her and having like wondering, like she must think I'm crazy and like not understanding. And so like, I think that, you know, it's really important for parents, to do that. And like you mentioned, people who have OCD who want to become parents, I think that's probably really scary. Like it can hold you back from having a family.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that hopefully that's encouraging to someone out there. Like, you know, the doctors are there to help not just your kids, but also you, right? As the mom or dad or, you know, caregiver. So
absolutely. And what I found, because we had a child last year.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. And like the amount of support my wife got was massive. And like she jumped all kinds of cues as soon as she became pregnant, you know, and I guess rightly so. But like, I guess that's like if you feel as soon as you, I guess what I'm saying to anyone who wants to become a parent but is maybe a bit anxious about it is there's all kinds of support the moment you have that kid and before you have that kid. Because, well, at least in my country, and I assume yours, they want to support parents.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely find that. I think like one thing I wanted to touch on was that kind of something OCD has taught me, which is you just kind of briefly touched on it, was that when I decided, you know what, screw it. You know, I'm just going to be honest with people or most people, not everyone. I mean, I don't walk around the street being like, hi, I have OCD. Hi, my name's Rachel. I have OCD to like my dry cleaners. You know, I don't do that. But like people, I don't want to freak everyone out. But like people like that, you know, I'm close with when I was just like, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to just be like very clear. I have OCD. It's this, that, and the other thing and this, you know, whatever. And I found that like people for the most part are really good. They're, you know, and I feel like they have so much, people are so empathetic and they really, even if they don't understand what OCD is, they have empathy and compassion and they understand like what it means to help people. And I have like a lot of contamination chemical OCD in the terms of like, not necessarily what like typically you might be thinking in your head right now, but just all again, back to like the health of the kids. Yeah. So when I have like workers at my house, like doing stuff and I'm like, ooh, is that going to cause a chemical? Like, or I will tell them, even though, you know, these people, I really don't know at all. And it's quite embarrassing, but, I will say like, I have OCD, like, please understand. And like, really, I have been very taken aback. Like to my, but I was shocked at how many people really are a support system. I mean, even just like a plumber who comes into my house that I don't know very well is like so much more empathetic. And I feel like than I would have ever thought. So I think one thing OCD has taught me is like you said, like there is an overwhelming amount of support out there in all, you know, capacities and all different terms. But I think that if you're not honest about it and you can't share that, you're just kind of like locked alone in your brain. And as we know, people with OCD, our brains are quite frightening. So to be locked in there alone is not always ideal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with you. There's a lot of support out there. I'm glad your wife was able to, you know, have Thank that, you. Feel that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's containing for me as well as the husband, like it's, as you right. said, having a kid is just for anyone is a wonderful, but terrifying experience. What was I going to say? Yeah. So you said you're in therapy now, did you say?
I am in therapy. I've kind of always been in therapy on and off since, I mean, I can't even remember because my mom used to take me to various therapies, like therapists, like what is wrong with her? You know, like what is going on with my child? Why does she have to say I love you last? But yeah, I am in therapy now and I do some ERP. I did want to kind of touch on that is that, I guess I kind of go by this whole thing. I actually wrote something recently about it, like to resist is to persist. Mm. So it's kind of, it's true, right? If you like fight it and, you know, you do the compulsions and you fight the thought, it's going to grow and get bigger and stronger. And, you know, it's almost impossible to beat and conquer. So I think that for me, one thing that has, I think everybody probably, people who are probably listening there, they all know, you know, what ERP is and, you know, what to do and what not to do and what helps and what doesn't help. For me personally, it sounds so simple when it's literally terrifying and like the most impossible thing to do, but it is so simple. It's literally do nothing. So when you have that thought for me that, and then that like creates that physical like sensations in your body where you're like sweating and your heart's racing, you think you're going to have a panic attack. Maybe you are having a panic attack. Maybe you're vomiting. Maybe you're hysterically crying, whatever it is to each individual person. You want to get out of that, right? So that's why we do the compulsions. So if you literally just do nothing, you just sit there. And when I really don't like when people say like, you know, just really lean into it and like sit in the distress, like, okay, it's more than that. It's literal hell. It's like, I'm in a nightmare. It's agony. It's like someone is stabbing me. It's not just like uncomfortable where you can just sit there and like be in it. Well, no, like I want to die. Like I got to get out of this. You know, it's like, if you're like on fire, do you just sit in the flames being like, this is burning my body, but I'll just sit here and like deal with it. Like, no, you jump and you get away and you whatever. So it's like, that's what it really kind of is, at least for me. And I think probably for like most people. So it's true agony. And I think to do nothing sounds so simple, but yet it's so, so hard, but it's so effective. And one thing that I'll say to myself when I'm in this, and I don't know about other people, but I know if I do nothing, this is going to pass. In 2 days, this feeling, this urge, this compulsion, this thought, this fear, whatever it is going to be less. It will be, no matter what. I'm almost 35 years old. I've had this my whole life. I can tell you 100%, which you're not really supposed to say anything, OCD 100%, right? The doubting disease. But I promise you, it will get better if you do nothing. So of course, you know, it's impossible to do all the time, right? Or really ever. I mean, I'm sure it's hard for anyone to do it. But if you can just sit in the burning flames as long as you can, you know, a little by little, it gets better. And my mom would always say this to me as like, as far back as I can remember, like for various things, but now like I kind of have it, you know, to do with my OCD is, this too shall pass. So whatever thought is in my head, and they're always kind of switching, is that this too shall pass. So like in a couple of days, like the fear that I had, which has happened to me recently, and I do nothing, you know, the next day, the next morning, it's a little better. The next afternoon, it's a little bit better. The day after that, I'm like, huh, why was I that crazy about that thought? Right. And it's just such a like a free tool that we have. Just don't do anything. But of course, I'm saying that like it's easy when 95% of the time I can't do it. So whoever's listening, I really don't have my shit together. But when the 5% of the time that I do, it works, right? I'm sure, as you know, that's kind of like the way it goes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's largely the point of ERP is the RP right. bit is to give ourselves enough time for our brains to learn that, oh, this, it didn't happen, or I could cope with it, or whatever it is. Right. Yeah. So yeah, doing nothing. And I want to clarify for anyone listening, you're not saying you stand in the middle of your living room and do nothing. You're living your life. You're doing nothing around the OCD.
Do nothing in terms of the OCD. So if my compulsion is reassurance seeking and Googling, right? Mm-hmm. Don't Google. Yeah. Go about though, pick your son up from school, make him his lunch, even though you're in dire pain inside, keep on going. Don't just stand there and not literally do anything, but like in terms of your OCD, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Just don't do anything in terms of trying to make that pain any better. Yeah. Because by you making that pain better, you're always making it worse because you're doing the compulsion. So it's making, you know, you might feel better. I will feel better maybe for like 5-6 minutes, but then it comes back 10 times stronger. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, it's just kind of, it's a vicious cycle, man. Right. Mm,
very much so. Yeah. No, really good points. So one of my next questions was going to be, and I guess, you know, what you said could answer that, but I wonder if there's anything else, which was just like any light bulb moments, epiphany moments, anything where you just, you understood OCD or you understood how to get better from it, anything that just suddenly clicked for you or made sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think after having my kids, especially after like being convinced that they stole my child, you know, while I was sleeping in the hospital and switched them with another child, which by the way, if they did that, I love the kid I have. So thank you very much. but I think it clicked as I started to kind of, I think probably as you know, with your wife, like postpartum is just an insane time. So kind of as I came out of that, which takes a while, it just like the light bulb went on for me when I realized that like I was not really living. I mean, I was going about the motions of the day, but like I wasn't really living and I wasn't present. And I look at my kids and even though I do not want to watch them anymore smash cars against each other and make like all these crazy sounds, like as boring as that is, I do want to be there and present, you know, for them. And so that was like a time when I was like, you know what, that's it. I've had enough. Like I'm physically here, but I'm mentally not here. Yeah. Right. And I think that was one. The second was realizing I can come out and be like open and honest to people and how, like I said, like people are generally really good. And that is, you know, makes you feel like, okay, like I can do this. I think the biggest like aha moment for me, which I don't think I've mentioned and I wanted to touch on, was that my whole life, I felt like really weak. Like a really weak person and like a victim, like why me? Like this is so hard because truly OCD is so hard. And you see someone who has other diseases and everyone is so has so much compassion for them, right? And understands and wants to help. But you know, for OCD, it wasn't always like that at all. And so it's really embarrassing and shameful. And I felt always like, why me? And just felt like such a weak person. And when I switched my mindset truly to realize that like, you know what, I'm actually not weak. I'm actually people with OCD, and it's not just me. It's people with OCD are the opposite of weak. We are really, really strong because to live in true agony like that, have the thoughts that everybody has who has OCD, and keep going, or have the like the power to like the willpower to want to like fight it in any way they can, in any way, shape, or form, you need to be really strong. You need to be really brave, and you're really courageous. And so I think when I said, you know what, I'm not a victim. Yeah, this sucks that I have OCD. Like, I wish, like, more than anything that I don't have this. But you know, this is where I'm at. This is my life. This is who I am. Like, this is a part of me, and that's never going to go away. I'm not a victim, and I'm not weak. I am really strong. And like, I got to the point where I'm like, I feel like, you know, powerful. Like, I am strong to beat this. And once you have that little bit of strength to try and fight the compulsions, the relief gets a little better. It enables you to have more strength, right? To continue to do it. And so I think the biggest aha moment for me was like, no, I'm not weak. I'm strong. And people who have OCD really, truly are. And they're really, really brave. And I think if you can, those out there who have OCD or who have a loved one who has it, and just remember, like, sometimes they may look weak and like they're falling apart, because we are sometimes, or a lot of the time, but we really are not, and we're really strong. And I think if you can have that mindset and shift the way you think, and you're not in this like victim like mentality like cycle, you have a better chance at beating it. And I think that that was the biggest thing for me. And I would love it if my whole life I just felt like I was just like less than and weak. And even though I had the most amazing parents who would like try and like tell me a million times that I'm the opposite of that, they would always say I'm strong. I never believed it. Because I never felt it. Yeah. So I think when you feel it and you truly do, things can start to change. And I hope that people out there can just like remember that, even when they're like at the actual rock bottom, like you're very strong. You can do it.
Yeah. Really, really good point. This similar then to that is just words of hope for anyone listening. I guess let's do two parts. Let's do like general words of hope for the, the audience, and then specifically for mums and dads.
Okay. And then on top of it, I know like you have like a lot of like psychiatrists on here and like doctors, and they get these hypothetical billboards. I want a billboard. Can I?
You're going to get one. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get one.
You
got
to do this question first.
First, I'm going to do this. Okay. And then, and while we're at it, we're having the hypothetical billboards, can I have two? I want
let me,
two.
Let me think about it.
Okay. So words of hope, is just that like every day that you do quote nothing in terms of OCD, in terms of your compulsions, it's going to get better. You're going to be okay. You're fine. We're okay. We're going to get through this. You know, there's going to be really bad days, but there's also going to be days where you're like, I'm doing really well. And like, look at how powerful and strong I am. And I guess like, I just want that, you know, I guess I don't really have that many words of wisdom, as I'm not really like super recovered from OCD. I struggle with it all the time, but really just like know that you're brave and you're courageous, and like, you know, you can kick its ass, because I can, I do, we all do. You can do it. You can do it too.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. So you've got two billboards.
Two hypothetical. Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but I still want, I want two hypothetical billboards.
I want to point out, I don't just give that to the therapists and doctors.
I know, I'm joking.
They're the only ones that
joking.
Ask for it.
So
now that you've
asked
for it.
But I listen to all your podcasts and I'm like, every time I listen to them, I'm like, I want one of those. So I would put on it is to resist is to persist. Because truly that's like at the heart of it, right?
Absolutely.
And also as my mom would always say, which always helps me, is this too shall pass.
Yeah.
So if you want to put them on the same billboard, fine. But if not,
we'll keep them separate.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I would do. Yeah. That's what I would say. And by no means am I an expert, but you know, I'm fighting the good fight like the rest of us. And we just got to keep at it because we are strong as hell.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Yeah. And lastly, is there anything else that you wish you could have said or shared today?
I don't think so. I think that I covered. One thing is, I wish I could look, if I could tell myself something like when I was a lot younger, was just like, you know, you can do this. You're okay. You're going to be fine. You're okay. You're a lot stronger than you look, or really you're a lot stronger than you feel. So I hope that everybody out there knows that there, it's the same for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's great to hear it. It's great to hear everything you've learned on your journey and how you've changed and grown.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you enjoy the OCD Stories podcast and would like to support us with a one-time tip / donation, please go to theocdstories.com/support. All tips, no matter how large or small, are greatly appreciated. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to the podcast. Thanks also to NoCD for sponsoring the show. For more information, please click the link in the episode description. A quick disclaimer, this podcast is not therapy. It is not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. And until we speak, take care.